Welcome, Suzanne. We're very excited to have you come and tell us a little bit about your love of Multnomah County Library.
Oh, thank you for letting me. Thank you for inviting all of us. That's great.
Go ahead and start telling your story about your library.
Okay. I can't say that I know this library from its beginnings or even from my beginnings, but I did have experiences at a Douglas County Library when I was young, which have been positive about libraries. It was a very kind staff person who knew that I appreciated being in the library, and that's where I wanted to be and probably wanted to work someday. So I remember her taking me back into the administrative offices, and I felt very honored. And she was saying, "Yes, this is our administrative office," and she was kind of briefly explaining what we do. And she said, I said, "Do kids ever come back here in trouble?" And she says, "Very rarely, but we have had to pull some back and have a discussion with them." And that's one positive thing I remember, because then we just went right back out and I got to go do my reading. The other thing I remember about it is that not only the kindness of the staff, but that we had this great reading room in that library where we could see the adults reading in the library. There was a window, big window across both sides of it. And I used to just really love to see that when I would walk in. They'd have newspapers, what have you. They had a separate children's place like you guys do here, and very important. So the other thing about that library, which I thought was very unique, there's only two more things I'm going to mention, but one of them was that it was at the bottom of the courthouse. So it was at a very important place where people were coming and going, and they were very professional. So that's another reason why I really drank. I was drinking up whenever we'd get to go to the library. Just my eyes were really wide looking at everything. And then I do remember seeing them loading up the van. It was called a bookmobile at the time. And I said, "What are they doing with that?" And that they were traveling out to schools and things with the bookmobile at that time. And this was in around the 1970s, early 70s. And at that point, it really registered to me that, I mean, reading was always an important part of my joys in life already. But it really registered to me that, wow, if they send a van out, this must be a really important activity, the reading. So it really registered, and I ended up getting A's in reading. I was always excelling in reading. Good influence.
So your experience in Douglas County obviously engendered in you a love of libraries, mm-hmm. so that when you relocated to Portland and you walked into our library, can you tell me a little bit about that experience?
It was like walking into a clean castle. It was just fantastic. And I had a computer that was a laptop, and I was amazed that I was allowed, or that it was possible for anyone to go up and hook their computer in, regardless of the perimeters that can sometimes be limiting, like age, residency, race, sexual orientation, or any of that was not offensive to anyone. And it was my joy to come up here and hook in and see the variant of people that were around me. They were quite different than me. And while in some cases that can breed conflict among others, or among the groups, varying groups, this environment was such that no one was angry at each other. We were just really cooperative and all really glad to see each other and happy to be able to do what we were doing. So I thought that was amazing. In fact, often I just came up for visiting at that time. I didn't live here. So I was always telling people about how great that was at the library. And then I came regularly while I was learning my Hebrew. This library was instrumental in me becoming literate in Hebrew and understanding it by the ear and writing it. I had lots of chances to practice with the computer using the translator that they allow on there. And Spanish also is another language which I try to work with. And Spanish is much more readily available here. It was very difficult at first to find much of anything Hebrew in the libraries or anything. But then upon moving here, I opened up my card and found that you had some movies to help train my ear. Let's see what else. It was great to explore my studies in Middle East and in conflicts of the Middle East, and to complete my studies in disaster services. I utilized these computers for some of that as well. Let's see, it was not this library, it was other libraries where I completed FEMA certificates, and I actually went into FEMA courses. But this, I would say this is an instrumental resource for that, a place to learn that. You can pull that up on the end. FEMA has made that possible for people. Filling out job applications, I would not be able to have done that unless I had the library, really. My computer, by the time I was finished with my immersion program and moving up here and things like that, I was finally ready to really dive in and fill out some job applications. And I was able to do that here. Let's see, the other thing that I remember when I would visit here is, in order to keep my spirits up, I would bring my flute, and I would play my flute at the side of the library down there in the sidewalk, and people would really like that. I played at other places, but there one time was a violinist that was playing, tinking on his violin, right, like it was broken or something, and he was just like, he was a character. He was so animated. He was like swooning or sad over his violin, and he'd go tink, tink. And then I'd look at him, and I sat down with my flute next to him, and I thought, I'm not going to speak to him. There's something about him that's very special, and I'm not sure what it is. I want to find out, though. So I would just play one little note on my flute. And then he looked very sharply at me. What he was really doing was trying to get me to give him money so he would play more and more, like a little machine or something. So we had a fun time. I did not have money to give him at the time, and so we ended up playing a little something, but you know, it had to be funny the way he was doing it, and that was something I'll probably never forget. So about the library, these things are etched in my brain, and I'm really thankful. This has given so many others and myself ways to make it through difficult times in life and conflicts and struggles that are impossible to come above in many ways. And just as I express to others the importance of this 150 years. This, to me, symbolically is like a tree, a beautiful tree, that so many different people or beings, creatures, if you will, just come and nest in its branches, and for them to feel welcome and for them to behave when they may not want to do it, but I see so often they do. I've been here regularly 2 or 3 times a week, sometimes hours at a time, and I have rarely seen any kind of an outbreak or anything. the environment is such that it's it asks of us to respect the environment, the materials, the person-to-person interaction, each person as an individual, whether they be a volunteer, a professional, or another patron. It just seems, I almost envy how it just, without even speaking really, it just seems to do that here, the whole environment. I think it is part of the way that the staff are. They're nice and they're pleasant, but they are, there's rules, and they will state the rules. So,
so that welcoming atmosphere that it, that the library welcomes everyone was something that drew you to come to the library. And then again, as you said, that it sort of, because everyone feels welcome, everyone is sort of working together to make it work.
I think that is a very key thing. Everyone is welcome. Mm-hmm. Yes, and that does bring forth the kindness that is extended. It drops down. It helps us drop down defenses, and it helps us as patrons return kindness easier.
I was hoping you could tell me a little more about your study of Hebrew and how you got started on that, and then coming and finding out what the library's resources about learning Hebrew, what those were, what you found useful.
Well, that's pretty personal. Okay. I'm going to just tell you, oftentimes, and in my particular case, it started quite young. Mm-hmm. And was dormant for some time. And then I was always looking. I was looking for the opportunities, and they were provided me. And then I chose to go full in probably about the time my son launched. I'm the mother of one young man now, but raised him all the while. And he launched from high school, launched out of the house, and came up here directly to go to school, and was enrolled in school. So about that time, I found myself in the empty nester syndrome, and I knew what I had thought that perhaps I could do someday, and I thought, I'm not going to waste another minute. And opportunities opened up that provided me with the some information that I needed, I wouldn't say encouragement, but I would say knowledge that is necessary. Actually more of a competition with someone else that spoke Hebrew, so it just seemed to push me on to do it more and more. And then dreams, of course, I have dreams of what I'd like to do with that.
I don't, if you don't feel comfortable talking about it, that's absolutely fine. It was just something that you had mentioned.
Oh, I'm thankful you mentioned that, because I do have a related reason with the library that I would like to relate to you. I have read The Cat in the Hat in Hebrew to a Christian group of children, and it was very joyful, and it just really exhilarating to me to see three or four of a group of 30 kids really stand up and get it and really have a thirst for it. So I believe they have some natural skills for it. But it's not surprising to me if they aren't working on it now, because they can let it go dormant and put it to sleep and pick it up when it's ready for them in their life. Mm-hmm. For me, I was worried about it interfering with my studies and my, it amazes me. Some children are attending full-time Hebrew, biblical Hebrew, and going to public school. I was not one of those, but I'm learning more about them. So they're working all their education together, which is amazing to me. So anyway, I had the opportunity to do that for children. And also I interviewed for storytelling once, where I had written a story and my mom had done the, I had storyboard pictures and my mom had done illustrations. And so I brought some props along with it and interviewed for doing that in a very, very small community. It was almost towards the coast. I can't even remember right now where I was. There was a covered bridge there at that library, though it was a really pretty library. And so I interviewed for storytelling, but it just was really felt unfeasible to me to be so far out, and I would have to relocate, and I don't think they were prepared to handle a situation like that. Maybe, maybe not, I'm not sure. But it was an honor for me to be able to do that. So I traveled with my props and told the story. And at the Tualatin, was it? No, Wilsonville. Wilsonville Library, when I would also be studying my Hebrew, they have a children's section, beautiful children's section there, and a storyteller. Why can't I remember her name now? I think I have it in my Facebook way back in a couple of years ago. She does Spanish, and she does the whole story in Spanish. And I saw her do two or three of them, and I was really moved by how she did that. So I've been working with The Cat in the Hat, and I have another one, another Hebrew story that's called Hachilzon Im Shimshia Viroda, which means the snail with the little pink umbrella. So they're very cute stories. And I've only really had a chance to work with Cat in the Hat, but I would like to do that for the library at some point. I'm not sure when that'll work out. But it is a challenge at being Hebrew. It's not a regular language. So and it's not biblical, it's more Sephardic. There's some similarities, but Sephardic is the current language that is used in Israel, more in business and in social. And but it's not as if I'm reading to the children and teaching them biblical Hebrew, which I don't feel qualified to do. And I still don't feel qualified to teach professionally. Though I can read, write, and speak, and hear, and understand, I have been doing that for probably 2 years, really. I still feel like a beginner, especially when I put on a movie, or I get in the midst of people that have been here from Israel, or I go to synagogue, and occasionally it's spoken. Not even very much at synagogue, actually. Mostly it's English at synagogue, but they have visitors or some Hebrew teachers that would come in, and I would hear them speaking, and it all goes so fast for me still. And there's still some grammar I haven't conquered. Some areas of the grammar, for example, I was just thinking of one word, shista lake. Just to show you how complicated this can be. Like English, we have to augment our words. So if we want to say monkey into monkeys, we have to make it I-E-S instead of E-Y, right? Well, we have to augment words in Hebrew. So sometimes I get stuck at future tense, second or third person, or past tense. And using, they don't have a to-be form of the verb in present tense at all. So to learn the to-be forms of the verb in past tense or future tense is a challenge. Still, I haven't had time really to sit down and work with that and test myself. But I've learned so much, some grammar terms that I never knew before, plurals, feminines, masculine, and I won't go on about what I've learned much, but the point is it's quite complicated, and I still feel like a beginner. But I have made a lot of progress. And I hope to teach in yeshiva, maybe in English as a second language maybe in Israel, or even if I get put in one of the conflicting areas that have, there are Jewish people in Morocco, and there are Jewish people in places that we might be surprised about. So if I ever get placed for that reason, and even there are Arabics that speak Hebrew. And in Israel, of course, it's very pluralistic there. They are there's Arab Jewish people. There are Christian Jewish. It's quite plural. Or there's just Christian, or there's just Muslim. But the point is, the main language there is Hebrew. So perhaps I could be useful at a yeshiva there.
Mm-hmm. So you think that perhaps the library helped you a little bit in achieving what is a dream of yours?
Yes. Great. And I still hope to work for the library. It's been my honor to volunteer just a couple of times here for this library. Looking forward to the program coming up, the Children Read program that you guys do annually.
Summer reading.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to, I've been stuffing envelopes, and I even have Bess, you know Bess?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She gave me a pin, a volunteer pin, which I felt really honored about. I haven't got the certificate, though. I'm wondering how I can get a certificate, but I'm happy with the pin. And she says that she's probably going to utilize me when that gets up and rolling a little more, mm-hmm. Or close just before it.
Mm-hmm. And have you done any other volunteer work at the library?
Not very much. Okay. I think I started in Roseburg, and it was a time that I was needing to go through counseling. So while I was not at all disruptive or disrespectful, it was a very difficult time for me, and I wasn't as reliable as I am now and as I have been in situations where I am volunteering.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've made a start. That's really excellent.
Thank you.
So I wanted to hark back a little bit to something that you said about the library being a tree, which I really... I love that metaphor, and I didn't know if that you noticed that this building has a similar type of theme, which is that the library is a garden.
Okay.
So you can take a look at some of the artwork that's sort of around you, mostly up, if you look up, and as well as the pattern on the stairs. That's all the library as a garden. So I'm so glad that you... Captured that metaphor when you were here.
I'm really glad you're bringing that up, because that's another thing that has floored me about this library, the inspiring words on the stairs, and the beautiful tree that is outside that is maintained so well. It's just lovely. And the art and the concerts that have been shared here. And the public has had space to, some of the public artists or writers or artists or collectors, they've had space here to express themselves and to share and to lift the knowledge of the community when the community can come through. There's nothing more important than the library as far as things like this go. It is so open for anyone, and it's not, they don't charge you $35 a ticket to see this. These beads that I've had to quiet here, these wooden beads, were made and purchased right here by the Tibet people with the Tibetan monk. The live Tibetan monk display.
When they came and made the mandala.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, lovely.
It's called a mandala?
The sand painting that they were making, I believe it's called a mandala.
Thank you for reinforcing that. I'm sure I heard that, but I need to have that reinforced a few more times to actually know the name of it. The environment was transformed when they were here. It was.
Did you come several times?
I came two or three times, and I was telling people of it. And they also left dittos of their mandala. They had a couple of different mandalas, I think. is that, am I saying that right, Mandela? Okay. Yeah. And so they left ditto copies of it, and you could take them home, and I did take them home, and sometimes when my family would visit, I'd pull out colored pencils, and we could color on those for therapy. In family situations, that can be a little challenging. So that's just one example of something beautiful. The flags. Oh, and then you guys allowed the flags to be put around that the Tibetan people had, I think they had painted them. Mm-hmm. That was beautiful. That really did, really spoke of a group of people that were reaching out and loved to be noticed and to be cared.
It was a very inspiring week, I thought, when they were
there. Yes. And the music. Oh, I've heard, I think it's some opera I've heard in Russian, I believe. Or was it a Russian man singing in Italian? I don't know, but the language, what a fertile area for people to open up to language and to learn another person's language and to reach out in peace to another person with the availability of the different language music and the different languages in art. And the historic piece about this library that was going up on the third, all these displays and pictures and stuff, the art, the displays that are up there are just amazingly great and good. Oh, the one about Jewish people in theater and composers, mm-hmm. and oh, that was amazing with a life-size cardboard statues of people who all the details I will have to review to go on in a very intelligible way about it, but wow, that was just really a joy. And the songs that they wrote that we didn't know that they wrote, and their names that we didn't know that they had adapted for Hollywood and things like that, that was beautiful.
I think all of our conversation comes back to the thing that you originally said, which was how welcoming the library is and how it's for everyone. And so we have Buddhist monks here doing things, and we have Jewish comedians and musicians who are featured, and all these different things are what sort of makes the library special to you. Would you say that was the case?
Yeah, special to me and special to and comforting area to everyone else, mm-hmm. too, because there's always something that a person can relate to when they come in. There's a lot of American things here, thank goodness, because we're in America. So there are many things that we can relate to. And there's the pics that people put up on the shelf. I don't know who gets to choose what they're displaying, but that's really neat, too, to see that. The magazines, the videos that you can pick out, the CDs. It's just great.
Do you read some of the staff pics? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Have you had a memorable book?
Oh, a fantastic, fantastic book called Hebrew Short Stories. I have written down the name, but I'm not sure that I'm saying it right. And it was a book that was about an inch and a half thick of several short stories that were written, just the very first short stories, really, that Jewish people were writing. By the way, they were some Pulitzer Prize winners in there. It was amazing. And interesting, this book had a little bit of history as to how it developed, because they were in a process of changing where they were strictly Torah. If that was the only thing that was read, and the families were not reading or writing any music or anything unless it was of the Torah. Well, this was a time when people were considering living situations, dramas, joys, and they were starting to write about them, and they were getting affected by the Renaissance, the European Renaissance.
I could go on. Please do. Okay. There's plenty of time.
they were getting affected by that. And so they began, some of these writers were just writing short stories in the beginning of that, and that was very controversial. If you can imagine, some people just did not want anything to do with that. And they were giving them all kinds of problems. But they did manage to go ahead and get some beautiful works done. And I did not get a lot of time to read the whole book. I only was able to pick out about 10 of them. With the time I do with a part-time job, and I look for more full-time work. I have a very busy schedule is what I'm saying. So, but it was like a little affair with that book. It was just fantastic. And the writing was so poetic and picturesque, and it just flowed so nicely. It was actually a translation, an English translation of it. And I just couldn't be more happy about that.
And you found that on the staff picture?
It was. It was standing right out there on the pedestal.
Mm-hmm. We like to hear that.
Yeah.
So good. So we can wrap up now, unless there was something else that you wanted to share, another library story or...
No, I really think that we've covered just about everything, okay. Yes.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much for spending the time talking about your library experiences. We just love to hear them.
Thank you for your time. Okay.
You're welcome.